Let me tell you what my hope is for today. My hope is this, that I can take a word that's usually connected to such words as burdensome, tough, difficult, almost punitive, and change your perspective on a word so that you'll see how powerful it is, and it's a part of God's love, and that's the word obedience. Obedience. Now, we're going to come out of Matthew chapter 7. So if you can turn in your notes, right at the top of your notes, there's a scripture I'd like you to read with me out loud. But prior to that, let me give you the context of what's going on as Jesus speaks some pretty tough words about the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to read a little bit and then you can join in with me. Listen to this. Jesus is speaking. Matthew 7:22 says this, "Now on that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and like cast out demons and do works, mighty works of miracles in your name?' And then I will declare to them, saith the Lord, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Now let's continue. Read right at the top of your notes as we continue. Go. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So he's saying not just those who have the talk can say, "Lord, Lord," and have the right words, but those who do the what?
Walk.
The walk or the will of my Father. Those are the ones that are going to have an entry. I was thinking about that, and that's pretty tough. It's like, it's not those who say, "Lord, Lord," because there's a lot of people in church that have the right words. And I was thinking, I wonder if when I get to heaven, the people that I thought will be there may not. And the ones that, no way, will. The first day in heaven may be quite a rude awakening where I'll look in aghast at somebody and say, "What are you doing here?" And they're going to look at me and say, "What are you doing here?" I think it'll be a very interesting day in heaven, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yet the Bible says, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord." You know what the key to God's delight is? You know what the true delight of God is? Here's what. God wants you to spend eternity with Him forever. That's His whole delight. That's what redemption is about. The cross was about. For what? So that we could spend eternity with Him in heaven. That's the bottom line. That's God's delight. And if it is indeed God's delight, obedience or doing the will of the Father is pretty important to God. Because it's not just those who have the words, it's those who have the walk or the obedience. See, what delights God isn't church attendance. What delights God the most isn't how much Christian jewelry you wear. What delights God the most isn't really how many Bible scriptures you can quote. Nope. What delights God the most is that we will do the will of His Father, because His desire is to spend eternity with us. Now think about this. This might blow your mind, so get ready. This life is like a preparation for eternity. Isn't that right? And so you're going to learn some things here that are going to carry over into eternity. So I'm thinking we've got to learn obedience here. Because if our tendency is to disobey here on the earth, I wonder if we carry that into heaven. You say, really? Well, sure. 1 Timothy 4:7. "But discipline yourselves for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things, since it holds promise for this life as well as the life to come." You mean you carry something? Yeah. You see, if you have a tendency to disobey on this earth, that's bad. But if you carry that into heaven, that's terrible. I mean, what happens if we're in heaven and you have a tendency to disobey? Remember, Lucifer did. So what if we carry that into heaven? It's like, you know, let's say I do something wrong. Pete, you come in and say, hey, God, I'm looking for Pastor Wayne. Where is he? He's doing a timeout right now. Oh, he did some. How long is he going to be in timeout? Well, in heaven, first infraction, 500 years. Now, I don't know. But I think God is going to try to work us through obedience here because it's going to be something we're going to carry on, our heart. What's the bottom line? The bottom line of all that we're going to be learning, it's in Ecclesiastes. Let's read what Solomon says. Here's the bottom line. Go. The end of the matter, after all has been heard, here it is. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. The whole duty of man. The end of man. The bottom line. Here it is. Common denominator is to what? Fear God and to do His and fulfill His commandments. Follow His commandments. Keep His word. If the end of man is obedience, listen carefully. If that's the highest thing of man, then the highest form of worship, as wonderful as singing is, the highest form of worship, as wonderful as dancing is, the highest form of worship, listen, is obedience. Because without it, God's greatest delight will never be fulfilled. Because it's not those who have the words, it's those who have the obedience. So God's greatest delight is our obedience, because that's the highest form of worship. Now, you say, Wayne, is that obedience stuff? Is that that big of a deal? Oh, yeah. And what I want to do is to give you a new perspective today on what obedience is and how powerful it is and how God rewards that. That you'll need to know that everything that God does in your life is because of love, even obedience. Do you know that obedience is an expression of God's love for you and your love for God? Obedience. It's an expression of love. We always see it as something burdensome, but it's not in your notes, but read it up on the PowerPoint with me, would you? In 1 John 5:3, go. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Listen to this. And His commandments are? His commandments are not burdensome. But yet we often see obeying God's commandments, well, that's burdensome. Oh, I want you to see it so different. Because everything that God does in your life and in your marriage and for your future is because He hates you? No. Because He dislikes you? No. Because He what? Because He loves you. It's like a parent. I say to my kids, hey, don't be playing on the freeway. Yeah, but I want to play on the freeway. Shut up. Get in here. You don't want me to play on the freeway because you hate me. No, I don't want you to play on the freeway because I love you. Everything that God does and asks us to obey is not because He wants to rain on our parade. It's because He what? He loves us. I want you to see in a whole new perspective today the reason for obedience. Because everything about Him is love. And obedience is simply cooperating with God's design. Isn't it true that God is the creator, right? He's created everything, right? And His creation is going to stand fast. There's certain physical laws. There's spiritual laws. These are very important. So God is the creator. And you know what obedience is? Obedience is simply Him instructing you as to how to function in His creation. In fact, would you write down number one? Obedience is all about God's design. Now, I need you to hear this very carefully. God is a creator. And because He's created your life, He knows how you function the best. He knows how marriages function the best. He knows how your mind is to function the best. He knows how relationships function the best. Because He is the creator of all. And He's going to put certain laws into motion. Why? I'll tell you why. Let's read this first scripture and you'll see. Go. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood. Take a trip back with me to Genesis. In the beginning, the earth and space, the cosmos was formless and void. Cataclysmic collisions taking place, supernovas going off, kaboom, crash. And God said, hey, stop. Stars, blink, peep, peep, peep. Keep it up, a couple million years. And now, Earth, I want you to be the third planet from the sun. Now, I want moon, I want you to be about 283,000 miles from the Earth. And I want you to have a rotational synchronization around the Earth. I want your face to be facing the Earth all the time, one side, because there's a gravitational force that I'm going to use so you'll control the tides. And now, Earth, I want you to be flying through the space around the sun at 66,000 miles an hour. And by the way, I want you to tilt on your axis at 23 degrees. Light, I want you to move at 186,000 miles per second. Bzz! Sound, I want you to move at 768 miles an hour. Now, I want you to be moving in such synchronicity that if you moved any slower, Earth, if you turned any slower, you would alternately burn then freeze. If the moon, you come any closer, it will cause a tidal wave twice a day on this Earth. And after the first tidal wave, you don't have to worry about the seconds. Now I'm going to put an ozone layer around the Earth that in combination with the magnetic fields of this Earth, it will give a solar radiation protection so that every human being on the Earth will not receive solar radiation. It will not fry you. The sun will not harm you. Every person on the Earth, except Howleys, because you got to have sunscreen. Oh, man, use sunscreen. But everybody else, not too bad, but use sunscreen. And now the Lord says, I want you to move in perfect synchronicity, and I want you to do it with precision. Go. Now, some people say, well, why doesn't God just loosen up his laws a little bit? If God said, hey, moon, do whatever you want to. Sun, you can move a little closer. If God loosened up his laws of creation, there would be a cataclysmic collision akin to Genesis chapter 1. It would be within a day the total elimination and annihilation of mankind. You really want God to loosen up his laws? You want him to just kind of get lenient? No, you don't want God. You want God to be merciful, but you don't want God to get lenient. Because when God is merciful, he doesn't lower his standards at all, but he gives you mercy. If God lowers his standards, we're annihilated. So God is a creator God. And then he creates your body, and he knows how your body functions the best. He knows how your arm functions. Your arm was not designed to be thrust into a vat of hydrochloric acid. It just doesn't function well in hydrochloric acid. You put it in, you pull out a stump. Your body is not functioned or designed to withstand the collision of a car coming at you at 75 miles an hour. It breaks every bone in your body. God's saying, I didn't create you to function that well in that situation. But I know exactly how you function the best in your marriage. You see, whether it's the stars in heaven or a marriage in a home, whether it's the rotation of our planets, or the relationship between a man and a woman, or a brother and a brother, and a sister, God knows how he created us, and he knows how we function the best. And he took those instructions, and he put them in a leather-bound book. And that if we will obey, it expresses to him that you are the creator, and we are the created. If you violate God's laws and his principles, there are massive cataclysmic consequences, both physical or spiritual. Let's read what it says in Romans 6:23. Would you read it? The consequence, go. For the wages of sin is, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you disobey, what happens? Death, because everything, I'm not changing it. But what is my desire? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, because my greatest delight is that you spend eternity with me. And if you'll obey me on this earth, there will be blessings. Listen very carefully. Some people say, well, obedience is kind of hard. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Let me say that again. The cost of obedience is nothing compared to the cost of disobedience. Because the wages of disobedience is death, spiritually and physically. So you say, well, really? Yes, it's all about our faith. Because if you obey God, what you're saying to him is, I understand that you're the creator, and I understand that I'm the created, and we're going to cooperate. It's funny, but we have to understand that truly, 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 it has to do with our faith. In fact, obeying God, would you write in number two, obedience completes our faith. Obedience completes our faith. Romans 10 says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. Okay, the first kind of faith you need is a hearing faith. You've got to hear the gospel. You've got to hear it with your ears. And then when you receive Christ, it's added to with an action or a response to what you just heard. And that completes your faith. If you just have a hearing faith, it's not good enough. If we just hear and not do, we're in trouble. But every step of obedience that you take with what you hear, every step of obedience, it's like God meets you. But his blessings and his work in your life and for your future does not begin until you act on it. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is baptizing? Now, he had heard about Jesus, but hadn't had too much contact with him. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, comes over, and he's at the bank of the Jordan River, and John is there baptizing. And Jesus said, excuse me, John, hi. And John looks up and sees Jesus, and his eyes get real big. OMG, he says. What do you want me to do? Could you baptize me? You should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. Oh, no, just obey what I'm asking. Because you don't understand that it might seem like a small thing to you, but if you just obey this one step, see, God has a much bigger plan, and this is going to be a part of a larger plan of redemption. Huh? Yeah. See, when John the Baptist said, I don't need to baptize you, it's just a small thing. Let's read what Jesus' response is. And it sounds cryptic, but let me unpack it for you in a second. Let's read it. Go ahead. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he allowed him. He said, what does that mean? Here's what Jesus is saying. John, permit it. Just take the step of obedience, even though you can't see beyond it. But just let me tell you, permit it at this time, because when you do, something of the righteousness of God's plan goes click, click, click into motion. It doesn't start until there's obedience added to faith. But when you obey, even in the smallest step, something almost like a chiropractic adjustment. God goes click, click, click. And each time I obey, click, click. See, it's not in the hearing faith, it's the completeness of faith that has hearing and obedience. You understand why this is so important to God? Because he doesn't move. Heaven does not get engaged until the second half of our faith gets engaged. Otherwise, we'll be like the Pharisees, just hear it all the time. That's why James says, prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Because if anyone is just a hearer and not a doer, does just first half and not the second half, he is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. But once he has gone, he has forgotten what kind of person he was. But the man who looks at the perfect law of liberty, or the word of God, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. The blessing comes when you have a completed faith. And he said, John, if you'll just do this, just a step, you won't understand step two or three, you can't see beyond that, but if you'll just do this one step, obey as much as you know, when you do, something of the righteousness of God and his plan for your life, your future, click, 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 starts to come into motion. You understand? God waits for that. Let me tell you what happened when I was 30 years old. I was in Eugene, Oregon, and the Lord spoke to my wife and I that we were to come and start pioneering some churches here. And this was back in 84. And so I heard it. So, okay, got it, I got it, I got it. But I was poor, man. I was a youth pastor. So I had $1,500 to my name in the bank. And the Lord said, okay, you know you're supposed to go and start pioneering. Uh-huh. Well, no. I feel it, Lord. I feel it. Yeah, it's there. Okay. So, well, what do you want me to do? This is what he said. Go buy the ticket. Ooh, that's serious. I only have $1,500. I was arguing with God. I said, well, good, that's enough. That'll buy the tickets for you and your family to go. Then I won't have anything left. What will I do when I land? I have no money. The church is too small. They're not going to hire me. I've got to figure it out on my own. And when I did, for the first year of getting things ready, it took me about $40,000. I said, Lord, I don't have that. The church doesn't have that. He said, one step at a time. I will move things into motion, but not until you obey the first step. Because if you cannot be accountable to what I've already revealed to you, you won't be accountable to the things I haven't yet revealed to you. Start with the first step. Listen carefully. One step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons. One step. So guess what I did? I went down and bought the tickets, March 4th, 1984. We're going to move. We're going to fly over. So I came home with the tickets and I thought, I am done. I have no money. Now, this is a true story. I'm actually going to tell you the name of this person. A friend of mine named Alan Maxwell called me the very next day and said, hey, let's have lunch. I went to lunch with them. I thought, great, I'm poor, free lunch. So I went to lunch with them. As I sat there at the table, he slid across the table to me an envelope. He said, in it is some stock certificates. You can cash them if you want to, but the Lord spoke to me just about a day ago and said, I am to give this to you. I said, stock certificates? Can I cash them? He said, well, do whatever you want. It's yours. I said, wow. So I took this envelope home, called the company, and I said, I have X amount of stocks here. If I cashed it in today, how much would it bring me? They calculated it out. Guess what they said? $40,000. And that's how New Hope began. Pretty interesting. One step of obedience. You see, something of the righteousness of God does not click in until what? You hear? No. Until you obey. Even if you don't know the next step. Story is told of a farmer that had a 9-year-old son, and this is about, 8, 9 o'clock at night, and he said to his son, son, I want you to go to the barn right across there and feed the horses and come on back. He said, Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. He said, well, here, and he lit a lantern. He said, here, take the lantern. And his son lifted up the lantern, and he said, I still can't see the barn. Dad said, oh, you don't need to. It's just straight there, son. He said, Dad, I'm afraid of the dark. He said, okay, hold the lamp in front of you. Do you see that circular casting of light there?
Uh-huh.
It said, walk to the edge of the light that you have. And when you do, it will light up the next step. Then you walk to the edge of the light that you now have, and it will light up the next step. And you do that 3 or 4 times, and you'll be right at the barn. See, God's going to give you sometimes just enough light for the next step. But when you take that step, click, 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 something starts to happen of the righteousness of the kingdom of God, that God begins to move into place for your future, for your finances, for your marriage coming up, or your marriage that's struggling, to bring it to health, to shape it a little bit more. Takes that step. That's why the word of God says in Psalm 119, it says, for thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Then it will be a light unto my path. That before it's a light unto your path, thy word is a what? Lamp unto my feet. And that's how God gives us direction and step by step. Remember, one step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons. So is it that big of a deal? Big deal. Obedience. Why? Because would you write down in the first bullet, your faith requires more. You go, well, that sounds like heresy. Faith is enough, right? Let me just tell you a little bit about it here. Let's read 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. Go. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness add knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, yeah, did you hear that? You add to your faith. It's got to move further than just a hearing kind of faith. Now, some of you might say, whoa, wait a minute. That sounds like we're being saved by good works. No. You need to hear this now. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. You're not saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. In other words, it tends, it inclines you to obey, to do something, a bias for action. And without that, your faith is limited. It's only half there. Because it's just a hearing faith. Ephesians chapter 2. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God created beforehand that we should walk in them. You weren't saved by good works, but you are saved for good works. Because faith requires more. I had one guy come to me and say, oh, he said, I believe God, that's enough. You guys teach faith, right? Faith is everything. I said, well, kind of close. Gets you closer to God. Well, I believe God, that's enough. I said, He said, what do you mean? I said, well, He said, I believe God, isn't that enough? I said, It kind of gets you on the same level as the devil. I said, what? Yeah. And then I quoted to him James 2. Let's read it together. Go. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that. So I said, good. You're at the level of the devil. Listen carefully. There is not one demon in the universe that's an atheist. They all believe God. Not only that, he even quotes scripture. Sure, Luke chapter 4. Hey, throw yourself off the pinnacle of this temple. Is it not written that he will give his angels charge over thee, lest you cast your foot against a stone? Did you know that Lucifer pulled that right out of the book of Psalms and quoted it? See, that's why the Lord says, not just those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter, but those who obey. Listen very carefully. The devil obeys, but he doesn't. I mean, the devil believes in God, but he doesn't obey God. Did you catch that? The devil believes in God. Lucifer was there in heaven with him before he fell. He believes God. He just won't what? Do you understand how important that part of your faith is? You add that together, now you got a powerful faith. But sometimes in modern day Christianity, we have the hearing faith. In fact, the Bible says in the end days, we want more of a hearing faith. You know what it calls it? We will accumulate for ourselves teachers that will tickle our ears. Give us that illustration another way. Turn that phrase a little bit. Ooh, give me another joke. Ooh, I like that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ooh, ooh. You can do anything with it? No. See, sometimes we say, well, we believe God, that's enough. That's really, sounds like good theology, but wrong spirit. Sounds like the guy's really got his hermeneutic down, but wrong spirit. A lot of times when people say, hey, all I need is faith, I believe in God, that's enough. I know it's an excuse to be slothful. Just tell them, shut up and get your hand to the plow. There's a story of Muhammad Ali. He was in first class flying out, and the stewardess came and said, excuse me, sir. And this was at the height of his career. She said, excuse me, sir, would you put on your seatbelt? He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. She said, oh, excuse me. And so she went to the chief purser, or the head flight attendant. She said, Mr. Ali is out there, and he won't put on his seatbelt. She said, I'll take care of him. So she walks out there and she said, excuse me, sir, we're taking off. Would you please put on your seatbelt? He said, my name is Muhammad Ali. I am Superman, and Superman don't need no seatbelt. She looked at him and said, Superman don't need no airplane. Put on your seatbelt. See, sometimes what we think is really good theology is just an excuse. We need to put on our seatbelt when it comes to faith. Why? Because the second half of your faith, would you write it in the bullet, is obedience. The second half of your faith is obedience. Lest we be like the prophet Isaiah that says, these people hear and they praise me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They have a hearing faith, but they don't have a doing faith. There's no obedience, so it's a dead faith. The second half of faith is obedience. Let's read James 2 so that you see how important to God us responding to his word is. Because remember, the bottom line is God wants to spend an eternity with us, but it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, that'll get passageway. It's those who do the will of my Father. And so obedience is a big deal to God. And he's the creator, and he can't loosen up his laws of physics or his laws of spiritual health. So he's not going to change. We must. And when we obey, we're saying, you're the creator. But sometimes we're like Muhammad Ali. You know, when you were younger, you read the story of Pinocchio. Remember that one? It's a mythical story of a man carving this little boy out of wood. And when he carves his arm, boop, it starts to come alive. It moves on its own. He carves his other arm, boop, and he starts moving his other arm. And the sculptor or the carver, wood carver, his name is Geppetto. Geppetto says, what is this? He carves his eye, boop, and starts looking around. This is crazy. He carves this guy's foot out, and when he makes the joint, bing, he starts moving his foot. And Geppetto says, this is amazing. And he turns to get another tool. And when he does, Pinocchio kicks him. Boom. Whoa, what is that? And he turns around and he says something brilliant. He looked at Pinocchio and he said, I am not even done creating you. And already you're a mischievous boy. That's almost Bible. How often God can say to a young man in his seventh year of marriage or eighth year as a man and a woman, I'm not even done creating your marriage yet, and already you're mischievous. I'm not even done creating your relationship with this person, and already you've turned aside. I'm not even done creating what I want to do in this relationship or this financial situation, and already you're mischievous. Do you understand why obedience is so important? Because when you obey, something of the righteousness of God for your marriage, for your life, goes click, 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 click. It's exactly what God wanted. But it's released in obedience, not just hearing. Let me ask you, what has God been asking you to do that you've been putting aside, that you've not obeyed? You've heard, but you've not yet obeyed. Maybe it's writing an email to someone to give forgiveness instead of holding on to that bitterness. Maybe God's been asking you to get involved. Maybe God's been asking you to stop looking at certain things that you've been looking at. Or maybe investing time in such temporal matters and missing the time that should be invested in eternal matters. Or maybe with your spouse or your family. Has God been revealing some things to you and, ooh, yeah, okay, and then you forget about it later? Isn't it time to obey? Because something of God's righteousness wants to click in for your marriage, but it's not going to happen until you hear. No, until you obey. Remember, one step of obedience is worth more than just listening to 100 sermons. For some of you, God may be saying to obey by opening your heart to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've been coming to church, you've been hearing, but you have yet to break through that pride or the reticence to raise your hand and say, I need to turn from my sin, turn to God. For some of you, it might be water baptism. That God's been speaking to you about water baptism. I don't want to do that. No, God is saying it's time for you to make a proclamation that you're going to die to the old and you're going to live to Jesus Christ, and you're going to make that public. Well, get over your whatever and you get out there. Okay, and it's been a year. The Lord is saying, obey, because something of the righteousness of God begins to click into place. Oh, I was baptized when I was a baby. Yeah, but when you were a baby, whose decision was it that you be baptized? Yours? No, you were a baby. You had no idea what was going on in the cosmos. When you were baptized, it wasn't your decision. Whose decision was it? It's your parents' decision. Thank God for parents that look out for the welfare of their child. But you had no idea what was going on. Maybe you've strayed from God and you've come back, and now it's time for you to make that decision. For you to say, it's time for me to be baptized. And God is saying, good. Now act on that one step. What has God been telling you? Let me talk to you men. What are you tripping over this year that you were tripping over a year ago? And you're still tripping over the same thing. Maybe it's your first reaction to something that you don't like as anger, or maybe giving a silent treatment in order to punish quietly your wife or kids. Just give them the silent treatment. That's how I punish you a little bit. You tripped over that 2 years ago. You're still tripping over that today, and you've been to 100 sermons. Remember, one step of obedience is worth more than 100 sermons. Because something of the righteousness of God starts to click into place, not when you hear, but when you obey. See, what fulfills your faith and completes it, the second half, is obedience. Let's read what James chapter 2 says right under that bullet. Would you with me? Go. What use is it if someone says that he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So is obedience a big deal to God? Mm-hmm. So here's the good news. Would you write down number 3? Here's the good news. God always rewards an obedient faith. God always rewards an obedient faith. I've seen him do that hundreds of times. No, not just a hearing faith. A what? An obedient faith. Let's read what it says in Proverbs 13. Go. Whoever despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he who reveres the commandments will be rewarded. Underline that. It doesn't say might be. It says what? Will be rewarded. Do you know that God absolutely delights in blessing his children? God delights in giving to his kids, just like I delight in giving to my grandkids. I just delight to do that. God a million times more wants to do that with you, to reward, to give. But it only happens when we obey what we hear. You see how it becomes a full faith, a complete faith, an obedient faith, not a hearing faith. Pharisees had that. An obedient faith. That's gold. That's gold. So, what do you need to do? Maybe God's been talking to you about devotions. Taking time in the morning to read the Bible and journal on it. Oh, I don't have the time. Listen. Just go to your devotional reading plan and start and stop at the first thing that you read that touches your heart and journal on that. It could be one verse, two verses later, three verses, fourth verse down. Oh, that's good. Journal on it. Might take you 7 minutes, but at least you got a gem that you can chew on all day. Read until you get something. Stop. Journal on it. Every small step is worth more than 100 sermons. Take that step and then click, 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 something starts to happen. What has God been speaking to you about? That one small step. I remember I was worshiping one day. I said, oh God, you know what I want? I just want you to have first place in my life. And God is just, he's wonderful. He kind of pushes back on me sometimes. Oh, I just want you to have first place. Good. Do it. Oh, God, I want you to have first place in my life. Good, start. Oh, God, okay, I'm going to sing a song about it. Have first place in my life. No, do it. Okay, let me pray about it, Lord. Pray you be first place. No, just do it. And it's like he said, put me first. Oh, what do you mean? When you get your check, what's the first thing you do?
I go to LNL.
No. Are you putting me first? First thing in the morning, what do?
I read the newspaper.
No. Why don't you read my word? Do you understand? You say it, but you don't do it. And that's why the Bible says, in fact, let's read it together. John 13, 17, go. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... Okay? If you know these things, noggin. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... If you know these things, you'll be blessed if you know it more. No. If you know these things, if you memorize it, he'll bless you. No. If you know these things, you are blessed if you... Do you see the completeness of faith and where the reward comes from? Where God says, now you're understanding that I'm the creator. When you cooperate through obedience, you'll be blessed. I figured it that way. It's all in my design. But if you reject it, the wages of sin is cataclysmic collision. And then I think, got it. Ah, because God is saying, I want to bless you more than you'll ever know. More than you want to be blessed, I want to bless you. I have a plan for your marriage and your future. And as soon as you begin to obey, click, click, something of the righteousness of God starts to come into place for your future. But my laws will not change. You must change. You don't want me to change, the Lord says. And then you'll understand what it means to have an obedient faith. Let me finish with this story. It's an old Navy story, and the story's told of a battleship coming towards a coastal area, but it was enshrouded with thick, thick fog. And in those days, they didn't have the sonar technology that we have today. They had a big, bright fog light, And they had the fog horn and a megaphone. Well, the ship was going through the shoals area of this coastal area, but it was so enshrouded with fog. And all of a sudden, the navigator looks up, and another light is coming right at him. He yells to the admiral, "Admiral, come up quick!" And he sees this thing coming at him, and the admiral blows his horn, and he gets on the megaphone. "This is Admiral Jones of the U.S. Navy. You alter your course 10 degrees north. We're coming through." Out of the fog, he hears this voice. This is Seaman First Class Anderson. You alter your course 10 degrees south. He said, "What is this?" He gets back on the megaphone. "I said, this is Admiral Jones of the U.S. Navy. You will alter your course 10 degrees north now." This is Seaman First Class Anderson. You will alter your course 10 degrees south now. He said, "This is insubordination. This is Admiral Jones, my final word of the U.S. Navy. You will alter your course 10 degrees north. I am a battleship." This is Seaman First Class Anderson. "You alter your course 10 degrees south. This is a lighthouse." God ain't gonna change. Even though you think you want admiral. God is the creator. He knows how your marriage functions the best. Cooperate with him. He knows how friendships between two men or two women function the best. Cooperate with him. He knows how our minds function the best. Cooperate with him. And he's put it all right here for us. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God abideth forever. God is the creator, and he knows how we function the best. And when you obey him, you're saying, "Lord, I want to be a person of not just a hearing faith, but an obedient faith." And that's the kind of people we want to be right here. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we conclude? Thank you. 3 o'clock today, we have water baptism. Some of you, by the way, maybe your first next step in obedience is to open your heart to Jesus Christ. To say, "Lord, I've come to church a lot, but I've been hearing it's time I do something about it. Take a step of obedience." Some of you have been walking away from Christ, and he's brought you back home today. And you need to say, "I'm home. I'm home." I want to give you that opportunity. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you say, "You know, Wayne, I need to open my heart to Jesus, to accept him as my Lord and Savior, and just not hear more about him, but to take the step of obedience to say, 'Lord, I turn from my sin and I turn to you. I want to walk with you because you're the creator. I don't want to be a Pinocchio Christian.' So I receive you today as my Lord and Savior, and I give you my heart. Please come into mine." If that's you, would you raise a hand right now as a step of obedience and say, "Yep, I'm going to say yes to Jesus." Okay, yeah, all right, yep, okay. Just hold it up. Okay, you too, both of you, yeah. Okay, you too, yeah. Okay, you. Brother in the back, yeah. You, yeah. Good, lots. Okay, yeah. You can put your hands down. If this is the first time you're receiving Christ, ushers will have a yes packet. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please grab one, free of charge. Maybe you're here and you say, "You know, Wayne, there's stuff I need to obey, but I've been kicking the can down the road a little bit. Please pray for me that I follow through and do what Jesus wants me to do." If that's you right now, would you raise a hand and say, "Yep, that's me. I need to do that. And I will. I will." Good. Yeah. 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 Let me pray for you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for a fabulous family called New Hope. We ask, Lord, that you would give strength to the weary, courage to the faint-hearted, and favor to the fearful. Lord, we ask that those that will be baptized today, that there would be just something of the righteousness of the kingdom of God clicking into place, fitting into place for their future and their life. Thank you for these who said yes to you to receive you as Lord and Savior. Receive them, Lord, as new children into the kingdom of heaven. And now may we add to that faith obedience so that we might be a people of an obedient faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these who raise their hand to receive Christ.